Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Though you see no water for miles around you, you are, like me, nonetheless maroon. We are castaways in this terrible bad dream somebody decided to name Barovia. To switch up the metaphor, we are imprisoned, and the fog is the bars of our cell, and our jailer is Baron von Strahd. As far as I can tell, there's no way to escape, other than possibly by dying. Maybe by being eaten by a wolf, let's say.
Can I scan the tree line while looking perhaps where that Vistani ran off to?
Put my hands on my hips. I'll come with. If you die out there, I'm not getting home, so.
We'll be back shortly.
Right.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
Fingers crossed we'll be back.
Fingers, toes, everything crossed, yes. You continue tracking through the woods. You get further and further into the pine trees all around you.
At some point, maybe we light a torch so we can see.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The space between the pine trees becomes smaller and smaller as the trees become thicker and thicker. It feels like the forest itself is hostile towards you. You begin losing all sense of direction. Space around you begins melting away. Does that rock look familiar? The players become lost.
Fuck apples, Adam.
You, nonetheless, while you will not be able to trace your way back, you can still, from the tracks, you can still follow your way forwards.
Okay.
So it's not difficult to follow where this person went. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the trees become so thick, you actually need to dismount, and you're leading the horse behind you. The branches are so low. Once again, it feels like the forest is hostile, attacking you. Mm. You're forcing your way through pine trees. It's like you're in, it's like you're an adventurer in a jungle, cutting their way with a machete, but it's pine trees instead. The needles from the pine trees and the pine cones feel unnaturally sharp, stabbing at you like tiny little knives. Eventually, you can hear, fuck, 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 something knocking something else, something hard hitting something hard up ahead of you. Mm-hmm. In the darkness, you cannot yet see it. You're too far away. Even for dark vision, you're too far away, but you can hear, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Is that where the Vistani was running to?
Yeah, you're still following the tracks.
Okay, I just keep following.
The first thing you see is a little light. A dim, dull light ahead of you. Slowly, the light reveals. It's not a great view because the light's very faint, but it does reveal what you're seeing ahead of you. There is a small little clearing. In the clearing, there is a cottage, which is immediately a red flag.
I'll load up bolts.
You can see in the cottage there are many shapes, small little hunched somethings, you're not sure, that are in this clearing all around the cottage, and you can see one figure crouched low in the snow, bringing up something in their hands and then slamming it down. Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!
Behind you,
unseen by you, it lurks.
It
watches.
Do we hear that?
No.
Okay.
It watches the two figures, one a dragonborn, the other human-like, but some creature it's not aware of, leading a horse. They're heading into grandmother's house. Pip and Hector.
Adam Carnevale, you motherfucker.
So the thing that is like, thok, thok, thok.
That's ahead of you in this clearing.
Now, is it humanoid?
It's humanoid, yeah.
Does it look like, say, I'm guessing the hopeful part
are
of
you
me.
Are you moving? Have you stopped?
I
or
think
are you
we've stopped.
Moving?
Oh, okay. Stop. The clearing.
Cool.
So the hopeful part of me is hoping that the Vistani, the whatever my heart's desired, is maybe something underground and he's using, say, a stone and he's trying to dig that. But the more rational side of me is thinking that the Vistani who was running came upon this, and whatever that is bashing its head in.
Yeah, it's my fear too. Can I make out what the little
hunched creatures are?
No, they're shrouded in darkness. You can only just barely see that they're there.
Do I know anything about a grandmother's house?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. Never mind.
Is this at all in any way familiar to me?
No.
The idea of a cabin, like, even one as nasty as this, this far out seems wrong, right?
Yes.
Does it look nasty?
Or does it look inviting?
I wouldn't say it looks inviting. I wouldn't say it looks nasty. It's just a place.
Uh-huh. Okay. The creature, or the individual that is thocking away, can you describe its, I guess, silhouette or features that we can see?
Are you talking about the figure? It's like humanoid, as I said before. Yeah. They're...
But it's like, are we seeing a silhouette? Are we seeing
just the silhouette, pretty much.
I'm guessing, is it like, you know, are they wearing, you know, threadbare clothes? Are they spindly? Is the outline like, you know, those arms are a bit too long for a human?
Yeah. It just seems humanoid.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't see anything that... I mean, other than the obvious things, you don't see anything that looks wrong.
Okay. Can I guess as an action, use Divine Sense?
We have previously had this conversation, and I have allowed you to see the other sorts of presences.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I will say that there are no undead celestials or demons or devils in this clearing, none that your divine sense allows you to see. But you do once again see that sickly green fog that kind of covers a lot of things. You would recognize that as just an evil aura that is around this place. It might be connected with Fae, but you can't tell 100%. It seems to collect around those little hunched figures that are all kind of ringing this, the ones I was describing before. The figure that's fuck, that figure, it looks like it's roiling off them, but they don't look like the only source.
Okay. I think we're dealing with more hag vapor.
Yes. Are we going to let this one go? I just need to know, Hector.
I'm just staring at that creature. So I'm thinking if they're affected by the hag touch, that would mean – so there's the roiling vapor that's coming off them. Is that very similar to people at the orphanage?
It's not exactly the same. It's not a brother or sister, but it might be a cousin.
Yeah. What is this place?
I don't know. It's not good, whatever it is.
The two of you watch as a haunched figure, humanoid, but small, not halfling small, just human-sized small, maybe only like 5 feet in height in total, but because they're haunched forwards, they look even smaller than that, slowly makes their way into the clearing from another angle, not near you. You see the figure slowly makes their way towards that little house, completely ignoring the person in the clearing.
What is that?
I don't know. I mean, we're dealing with Fae of some kind, probably hags. Maybe I'll flip out Emmanuel in this moment and have a look. Because the hunched figures don't remind me of, like, dusk hags like we fought earlier. They're way too small, yeah?
These things, look even smaller than maybe... Yeah, definitely look like they might be smaller than humans, to be honest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nobody's hovering, are they, Adam?
No, not that you can see.
Okay.
Our torch is still lit, I'm assuming, unless Pip, were you just like
into
the snow?
I kind of assumed it was doused, yeah.
Okay, I'm just double-checking.
Into the snow.
I mean, we could try to get a bit closer to have a better look of what that is.
With one final fuck, the figure in the clearing stands up and then drops something next to them. When they stand up, you can see... Definitely, without a doubt, this is a human or humanoid, something similar. Obviously, could be an elf or whatever. But there doesn't seem to be any, once again, other than the obvious things, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong about this person.
Okay.
They slowly stagger their way towards the little cottage. The figure by now is at the entrance to the cottage.
Yeah.
They open the door and let the other person in. Mm-hmm. You can distantly hear some conversation but neither of you can make it out.
Is it an educated guess to assume that this man is, this humanoid figure is ensorcelled in some way?
It's possible. It's really hard to tell from a silhouette.
Similar, what was coming off of them was coming off the orphanage. It's quite not the same, but similar.
Some kind of enchantment or something. I mean, there's just two of us, Hector. That's all I'm thinking.
No, the
odds aren't in our favor.
I understand that, but that was that the if you're ensorcelled by the what was the kiss, right? The desire,
insatiable desire.
Okay, and is there anything that if they were ensorcelled on top of that?
It doesn't look like insatiable desire really anymore, does it?
Well,
I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. You can't tell anything.
The tracks that we were, following, do they continue up towards?
Yeah, the tracks continued into this clearing. They look like they moved in the direction of the figure with the fucking, but once they get a little bit into the clearing, you lose sight of them. You can only barely. I want to really emphasize as well, like a lot of this clearing is very difficult for you to see. Yeah. Those little figures ringing the clearing, you have no idea what they are other than that they're very still.
Oh, so they're not moving really at all?
No, not at all.
Okay. And those figures there, there is the vapor, that kind of smoky stuff, was coming off them or just kind of coalescing around them?
It was coming. Wait, coming off who?
Those little figures.
Figures. It's hovering around them, like the fog likes to be there, like it's clinging to it.
Okay. So what I can see is I start describing that to Pip to be like around those figures. How many of those that we can I count?
It's hard to say because they go around behind the hut, but the cottage, whatever you want to call it. But you would guess that there is no more than 10.
If you want to get slightly closer, you've got dark vision, I don't. So if you want to get slightly closer to those figures.
While I wait here, near the horse.
Ready to go. Oh, the horse I can't ride.
Well, you can leave the horse behind. Yeah, that's the trick. True, break its leg. You get out of there.
Hey! I guess I'll start creeping a little closer.
So you're trying to be quiet?
Yeah.
What armor do you wear again?
I was just about to check that.
I believe you're wearing a heavy armor, maybe? Breastplate?
I'm just wearing that breastplate of the Morning Lord.
Well, I'll say that while it is part of plate mail armor, it's only one piece of plate mail armor, so I'm not going to give you disadvantage on stealth rolls.
Thank you.
That's kind of you.
All right, you slink your way into the clearing. Did you say you're moving towards the little figures?
I was going to move towards where the guy was.
It was fucking.
Fucking, yeah.
All right, you approach that and you see you get closer and closer and you see that there's a body lying where they were. Mm-hmm. Your guess is partially accurate. When you get to them, you see that it is a human, or it was once a human. Mm-hmm. Their face has just been mashed in. It's just a paste on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all right, you rolled high enough to recognize that the outfit this person is wearing is not the same as the person who you've been tracking. This is a different person who has been killed.
I'd like to, because I guess we're doing this, quietly little make a potion of protection against magic and damage. So combining Devil's Horn, Lycanhide, and Dragon Blood. Dragon Blood has a Mondo Bombad racing ability or whatever.
So what's the intention with this?
Protection against magic and protection against damage.
All right. You do a decent job. Just write down strong protection against magic, strong protection against, what was the other thing?
Just damage. That's the Lycanhide. Great.
And 5 rounds.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, so I got that potion and drink from the,
Ooh.
Yes. The creature hears the dragonborn man muttering under his breath.
God damn it.
He's doing, they are happy that they got the result they did.
What the fuck?
Should be in a cabin right now. Should be inside the wagon.
The other creature has moved into the clearing closer to grandmother's house. This one is on its own. Easy pickings.
Oh my god, Adam. What the hell?
Okay, can I look through, like, get a pat down this body, see if there's anything there of like note?
You give them a quick pat down as much as you dare doing right now. Yep. You're quite exposed.
Oh,
I want to say you feel very in danger right now.
Sweet, okay.
The cabin has resolved a little bit more now that you're closer. Mm-hmm. You can see in a bit more detail. It's a two-story building. It's got a very almost, you would describe it as almost fairy tale appearance. Like you would see this on the cover of a children's book, mm-hmm. but it's a little bit more foreboding, I suppose. There's nothing you could specifically mention. There's no coloration or no anything about it that you'd be like, that's what makes it scary. It's just something about it.
Okay.
So how close am I, to the cabin, and how close am I to any of those figures? Like those little statuettes or whatever.
Looking around, you're, I would say, 100 feet from the cabin and similar from the nearest of those little little hunch things.
Little hunch things. Do they bring me closer to the cabin? Or more
they ring the outside of this space.
Yeah, very ring.
We're just sitting at the edge of the clearing.
That's some kind of ritual.
Yeah, I head towards one of the statues.
All right. It isn't a statue. It is, in fact, a headstone.
Oh.
Yeah, closer. It's a little, just the classic circular at the top, straight on the sides, made out of stone. It's not terribly fancy, but it's a grave marker, absolutely. And you see in front of it, even in the snow, you can see disturbed dirt where someone has been buried. On the marker itself, what languages do you speak?
I can read everything.
How do you do that?
Eldritch.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, written...
A little dark gift.
Yeah.
Written in Sylvan, which is the language of the forest, language of Fae and such like that. It says... All right. So you're looking directly at the cabin. Would you have gone left or right? Both of them would have been as far from you as each other.
I guess where would... the closest to Pip, or is he directly between?
Right? It's all pretty much the same. Yeah.
I would have gone right.
Right? All right. This one says, my 10th daughter, and then it has dates written on it. The dates would mark whatever, the 10th daughter would be about maybe 40, 45 when they died.
Okay.
Sorry, not my 10th daughter, my 10th granddaughter.
My 10th granddaughter, okay. And there was around about 10...
Headstones
that I'm thinking of. I'm like, do I need to go and double check? I try and make a quietly head back to Pip.
What have you learned?
The whatever it was, I gesture the movements.
Right.
It was they were killing. So they killed somebody, not the person we saw from before.
Possibly somebody else from the wagon.
I gesture to all the things that aren't really moving. Graves. Here lies my 10th granddaughter, if that means anything.
Look, this has hag written all over it.
The door to the cabin opens again, and the haunched figure steps out onto their porch. Mm-hmm. They hold up something in their hand. You're not sure what it is. It's too hard to make out, but they've got something in their hand. They move their hand around, and you hear ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch.
Uh-oh.
The trees move.
Turn to look at Hector. Like,
could have been in the wagon.
Two of the trees near to you, but not exactly where you are, get up and start moving towards the cabin.
Okay, cool.
They don't engage. If they've seen you, they don't engage you. You're not sure if you've been spotted or not.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Food was so close. But grandmother is calling. the two hags, the two dusk hags that you did not kill, walk up to the cabin and crouch down low so that the figure can something.
I'd like to make a gesture like, let's get the fuck out of here.
I'm nodding. Yeah. I'm in agreement here. I maybe linger a little bit too long to see what's happening.
I start moving, I guess, before Hector then. Yeah.
You turn tail and flee.
As we're fleeing, make some notches in trees?
Okay, sure. You make some notches in trees.
Whiff that somehow.
Yes, you whiff the notches.
Well,
dude.
You whiff it in that you're not going to be able to follow this trail back.
That's okay. A shame.
You make notches in trees, but you fuck up the distance between them. And maybe at one point you have the great idea that you're like, I'll make an arrow so that they point to each other.
Yeah.
But you fuck up several of the arrows.
Do I know?
They do not point to each other.
Do I know I'm fucking this up?
No, unfortunately you don't. Yeah.
No worries.
That's a shame.
You fucked it up by more than five. So not only did you fuck it up.
I think I'm doing a great job.
You don't even know that you fucked it up. Yeah. Anyway.
Ooh.
You are lost, if you'll recall.
That's right.
So I'm guessing while you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to try and pathfind.
Got anything for a whiffed roll, buddy?
We probably do. I can re-roll anything, but that seems so valuable.
Yeah.
That's gonna.
Okay.
You know what? I'll just roll again. We'll just spend the time.
Unfortunately, you've been here too long, and an encounter is going to happen.
I'm wet and cold, and angry at how noble my friend is. He's got
daytime
too pure a heart.
Nighttime encounters, baby.
This is scary.
Pray for a low number.
It's
not bad.
Right,
oh, interesting.
I'm pointing at an arrow.
Very interesting.
That's right, yes.
Wait, why did I draw it? Hang on a second. Why did I draw it up?
Am I telling myself to go into the trees later? I'll make it down.
I mean north?
Oh, no. I should have decided on a system.
It was like A, B, 1, 3.
Oh, no. Too much of a panic to come up with an effective strategy.
It's like, A, B, Roman numerals 3, the number 4.
The word 5.
The word 5. Back to, wait, am I at C now?
Oh, no.
Okie dokie. Uh-huh. So, you pass on a tree, you see, at first you think it's someone, but then it's too small and it's off the ground. You realize a article of clothing has been hung on a tree.
Does that strike any bells for me, Adam?
It rings no bells. No.
Is that werewolf?
Could be.
Is it a full, full pants?
Do you go inspect?
No. I keep moving.
All right, you going to ignore it?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Is that wise to ignore?
It's as wise to ignore as it is to investigate.
Who knows? Could be helpful.
Could be.
Best go check. Go touch it. Put it on.
Can you give it his cursed pants?
We're the
spooky forest pants. Go on. Do it.
Pip keeps moving. All fuck right. Them pants, dude.
Yeah. I'm just more wary that like a werewolf is coming.
Yeah.
Or some kind of a were creature.
I'm on the
alert.
Lookout, alert, but I'm not stopping for a random forest coat.
Pip, you stop the group.
Yeah.
Something is trudging through the snow in front of you. It's... You stop trying to make it out. It's four-legged, whatever it is.
Ew.
It as it stops, as it slows down, you see it. Its head bends down to do something in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes back up, you can see just in the complete dead of night, in the lack of moonlight, with maybe just barely with dark vision, you can see it's a deer.
Okay. That's just as concerning as anything else, Adam.
It remains on its four legs.
Yeah.
Cool.
The deer turns to look at you. It's quite clearly spotted you.
Okay.
It stiffens like it's frightened itself.
Yep. Okay. And remains on its four legs, right?
It's still on its four legs.
Okay. Cool. Great to hear.
I just start, keeping an eye on it, strafing kind of around
it. The second you move, it turns and bolts. And as it bolts, at first you think it's fallen because it goes head over heels. But then when it lands on its back, its legs bend in the other direction and its legs kick off. The creature begins rolling instead, deeper into the forest.
It's not an Emmanuel.
It's not a dark place creature.
Is that what deers do here?
I have
that wasn't a deer. That definitely was not a deer. It looked like a deer. Yeah. It wasn't.
Have I ever seen
I still say, is that what a deer does here?
Let's say yes. Have I ever seen a regular deer?
Yeah.
Okay, there are deer.
They are regular animals here.
What was that? What kind of a life do they lead?
If you've ever mentioned that to a local Barovian, they might have made, once again, the sign that they make when they
talk about Strahd.
Yeah. And then refused to give it a name and just described it as something that hunts deer.
Oh, that's horrible shit, dude.
Oh, I don't like that.
All right. It takes you a little while, but you find the road.
Okay.
You're
thank
not
God.
Where you were.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they're to the south or to the north. One direction will lead you towards the Selenka Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, yeah, you just don't know where which direction to go to hit the Selenka Pass and which direction to go to hit the wagon.
Yeah.
And maybe one direction hits both and the other direction just leads you to the mists.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard to know.
Yep. Pick a direction.
Pick a direction and go. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not worth staying out all night. So
left or right?
Is there anything that will be a discernible difference between it?
Yeah.
In terms of going left or going right?
Not that you know of.
Okay. Then left. Yeah. Why not?
Okay. So call it Jack, as you're the one who said left.
Yeah.
Odds or evens?
Odds.
Odds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
How long are you willing to travel until you see someone?
I would say, because I guess we have no gauge of how far up the road we are.
Mm.
Is there like a period of time that we could be walking before we're like reasonably we should have seen something by now?
You were too lost to know.
I was going
to
say, with the, I guess, the natural sloping of does it become harder if we're going up? If we're going uphill, right?
Yeah.
That's towards, presumably, the Selenka Pass.
Yeah.
I guess if we're noticing that, then surely we'd notice within 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say.
30 minutes? Is that how long you're going to give it?
I think so. I'd say so, yeah.
So, first off, both of you take a point of cold damage for being out exposed at night.
Brr.
And you travel 15 minutes and see a light ahead of you.
Does it look like a firelight or does it look like lantern lights?
It's hard to tell. It looks like a fire, but a fire inside.
Could be in the wagon.
Would they have done that? I feel like Pirin wouldn't let them light a fire in a wooden wagon.
A
light is pretty obvious, but also I guess you need the warmth. Can we approach just stealthily, just quietly?
You could try.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to start doing anyway.
I'm on the horse.
So. Oh, yeah, you're on the horse. I guess you decide.
Yeah.
All right. You attempt.
Horse, be stealthy. Shh, horse, relax.
You attempt to approach quietly. Pip, you're quite quiet, but Hector, there's no matter what you do, for some reason, you can't stop the crunching of the snow around you. So, unfortunately, you're making a bit of noise.
It's horse hoofs, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
I've got good news and I've got bad news.
Okay, give us that bad news, baby.
Yeah. The good news is, in the light, you see the wagon.
Okay.
The bad news is you see a light, just a light, hovering near the wagon. As you approach, it drifts off into the woods.
Is that a Willy Wispy?
Looked like one.
Is it him?
I there was a Willy Wispy. I hope they didn't. Is it kind of abnormal behavior for a Willy Wispy to come so close?
A little bit, yeah. It wasn't hostile at all, which is, Willy Wispies are definitely a malevolent spirit. Well, not spirit, they're a fey, but
a spy? I mean, a Willy Wispy, what they do is, you know, they hide in the forest. They make you chase them.
Have we lit a torch yet? Because if not, I light a torch.
Yeah. I'd say we were going by moonlight. Yeah.
And then we approach, but carefully, because I'm worried that Pirin set up a trap.
All right. You continue to approach. As you get closer, you hear from the side of the road, psst, hey.
I look around.
It's not the direction the Willy Wispy went.
Okay.
You look in a different direction and you see Pirin's head poking out from behind a tree.
All right, yeah, we'll go and approach.
He gestures for you to come. What the fuck was that?
It was a Willy Wispy, I say. Were you hearing, like, you know, calls of distress from the forest?
No, I was on guard, just wandering around the wagon, and I saw a little light approaching, and then I hid to watch what it was going to do.
That's very strange behavior from a Willy Wispy.
Good.
I
caught a Blushin and Tarpossa in the wagon sleeping.
Right. I explain what happened. We found a cabin and a bunch of fucked up shit. I think.
Great. Incredible. You know what that sounds like? Not our fucking problem.
I think that would be the case, except I'm assuming that Willy Wispy's kind of straddled the line between undead and fey, and hags. That's fey, That's, you know, definitely Faye. So my assumption is that whatever is in the cabin, probably by the time that Willy Wispy makes its way to the cabin, knows where we are.
Great. Well, good.
The dust hags, I mean, they know where we are.
That's true.
Well, so we know what they don't know where we are.
Well, they don't know that we've bunked down here in the cab, in the wagon. But now,
but yes, we found. I'm assuming their lair, or at least whatever they were afraid of.
It seems like the
head of its coven, or perhaps their matriarch. Or
it had all the hallmarks of a hag location, but. I mean, couldn't.
The graves were like, here lies my 10th daughter.
Yeah, oh, I mean, it so screams hag, but.
I'm assuming the hags are, sorry, granddaughter, the hags are the other, it's grandchildren.
Yeah.
Right?
Is there like a thing where you can get like a matriarch hag that is in charge of various kinds of hags?
Yeah, I mean, it's typically, once again, a coven of hags is typically three hags, yeah. But you said it before, I don't know if you remember this, but it's a daughter, mother,
mother, crone.
Well,
yeah, typically a coven is maiden, mother, crone, so I would imagine maybe the inside the cabin is, well, mother, perhaps, to the rest of the hags.
So all the ones we fought with the maidens?
Yes, that could be the case. It's atypical for a maiden to represent many hags, but that's very possible. Where's the crone? Either way, we need to either get out of here or prepare for a siege.
Good.
The Will-O-Wispy, the others are in that wagon, and it is hovering above. Why didn't it attack?
Well, maybe it's just a scout.
If I had to guess, not that I know much about the undead or Fae, but if I had to guess, it was to give me a fucking heart attack.
Right. Okay.
We do need to have a I guess keep down for the night. Well, can we move? I look around. I'm just like, yeah, making yes, do we just prepare for a siege?
There's nowhere for us. We're not taking the wagon with us. And if we try and make it to Selenka Pass before the sun comes up, we'll freeze to death. So, yeah. Maybe I'll wander over to the wagon.
Okay.
Wake up!
You hear rummaging inside. What the devil do you... Shh! Quiet.
That's so powerful.
Tarpos comes out first, followed by Gorob and Lushan.
I explain the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Tarpos has a dark look as you...
Yeah.
Tell her about this. She nods slowly and says, hag, bad.
No shit.
Mm.
And I guess the Will-O-Wispy is working with him?
She shrugs. Will-O-Wisp, not my wheelhouse.
I would imagine. I don't know for sure. Could have just been a curious Will-O-Wispy, but I'd rather hedge our bets and prepare for a possible attack.
Siege unlikely.
Why did you say that?
Tarpos gestures to the wagon. Didn't protect much last time.
That's true. I suppose then it's just an all-out fight, really, isn't it?
She shrugs.
Okay.
She nods.
Okay, so I guess we need to prepare for an attack, but at least right now we should probably rest while we can.
Oh well, sorry to wake you up then.
If you have anything to prepare, prepare it. Otherwise, I guess, let's try to get some of us to get some shut-eye.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Don't be exhausted for the coming battle. God damn it. Okay.
Tarpos, go. Come back soon.
Right. Where are you going?
Speak to Forrest.
All right.
Great. That'd be
helpful. Yes, thank you.
All right, she trudges off into the snow. Gorob and Lushan follow after her.
My lady, please, let us follow you. We will keep you safe. Not that you need keeping safe.
Honestly, to have a break from them, I don't even mind. They can go together. Fantastic.
Piran, shivering, trudges over to the two of you and says, I wouldn't suppose either of you have a shovel, would you?
Yes, I do. I procure a shovel.
He takes the shovel. I'm actually a little... upset that you have this. Well, that's fine, though. I'm going to make a trap.
I will also set up a cordon of arrows, just because it's something I can do.
All right, you set up a cordon of arrows, mm-hmm. and you hear, in the dark, Piran digging. Do you, Hector, do you need anything to do?
Yeah, sure. I can't really help with.
Get sticks, make them sharp.
Can do.
All right. Do you have a dagger?
Surely.
Maybe not. You might not. Do you have anything with a blade?
I've got the spear.
Probably be very difficult with that. Piran hands you his silver dagger. I expect this back, like, before the fight.
Yes, of course.
All right. He returns to what he's... Actually, you know what? Actually, you dig. I will sharpen.
I give the dagger back.
He hands you your shovel back. He points out several locations that he's digging. He's not digging one big pit. He's digging little holes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's like, one of their legs will fall in. We'll create, it's quite a clever little trap. It's not my invention, though. We stick, rather than pointing up, we stick these sharp sticks pointing down. Their foot goes in, and when it tries to come back out, it impales itself on the sticks.
Oh.
That's clever. It becomes trapped.
Yes.
Wish I had some cold iron. Wish we had a chance to acquire cold iron.
Well, actually, I don't know if I could have procured it back at Kutri, but if only I'd known, I suppose.
All we have is that spear that's made from, I think it was ivory.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think that's cold iron, though. I don't think ivory hurts much, but elephants.
All right. You prepare an area. Tarpos at a certain point comes back with Gorob Lushan, and Tarpos says, trees scared.
Yeah.
This is a time for trees works different for us, but trees know this person is not old to this place.
Is new.
Not new either, but not old. Maybe.
Well, Tarpos, I mean...
Trees don't count days.
Right.
Trees count seasons, but different to us as well.
Okay.
So something between 5 years-ish, 5, 6 years-ish.
Okay. Can I, like, match that up with anything in the timeline I know of Barovia's history?
Well, that does predate your arrival.
Absolutely,
in Barovia, either way, pretty much. Yeah. It's hard to say. You're very unfamiliar with this area. Once again, Keening would have been the person.
He'd be perfect to have.
Yeah.
Wonder
how he's doing.
Yeah. I hope well with the tongue, man.
Distantly, another ball of fire explodes Valakai.
I guess that they've been here long enough for them to bury at least 10 of their kind.
I don't know. True.
How long do they
That is
live?
Very quick, trees say. What that means, don't know. Trees say the bodies are a quick thing.
Okay. Just sort of spitballing. Perhaps there's some kind of attempt to create a granddaughter that's not going well. And when they're...
Oh, so they're, we fought the crones.
Maybe.
How do hags breed?
Hags are made by other hags. So actually that does make a lot of sense.
Ah.
Attempts to create more hags, I suppose.
Hags like to create. Ultimate creation is corruption for hag. Corrupt person make another hag.
Why they're so dying, I don't know, though.
They corrupt a woman, or is it, can they use anybody?
Sometimes, usually woman, but sometimes man.
The hag we fought in the orphanage was a fella.
Yeah. Well, Tarpos doesn't know that. Tarpos just grunts.
Yeah.
Just the Vistani we saw running.
Yeah, that's right. He was a bloke.
I guess he was a desire. If they caught him, could they turn him into another?
Yeah, very possibly.
We've got rid of, there were 6, we got rid of 4, there's 2, we saw 2 go in.
Whoever was inside.
There was a smaller one, and then, so there was the smaller figure that went into the hut first was not the same as the one that did the rattling, or was it?
No, it wasn't the same. Okay. So the old hunched figure, that was the one that went in, then came back out, rattled something.
Okay, so it was the same.
Oh, that one, yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about the fucking one.
No,
that was the same, correct, yes.
Okay, so we've got, we've got whatever was the rattling, which I let's presume is the crone?
The crone, yes.
Yes, okay. It's Maiden Crone and...
Maiden Mother Crone.
Maiden Mother Crone. Let's assume that is the crone.
All right.
Because the others seem to bow down before it.
Right, yeah. So inside, crone.
Okay, then we've got...
The rattle.
Yes. Then we've got two of the mothers.
Right.
Right, and then...
That's not quite kind of like typically how it works, is it? Where you might have like a group of hags representing the mother rather than one hag representing the mother.
It's typically three hags, and in that instance, yes. But with bigger groups of hags...
Multiple hags might represent the mother. Yeah, okay.
Typically, there'll still only ever be one crone, but there can be multiple mothers.
All right.
Yes, yeah, so let's say they're the mothers, or the maidens. I don't know. Yeah. And then, you know, we've killed four of them, and then they've probably got another one in that. How long does a hag take to gestate?
Do I know this?
It depends. It depends on the hag, depends on a lot of things. Like it can vary pretty greatly from something like... and then also it depends on the person being corrupted. Yeah. It could take... If you start with like a particularly evil person...
It could be quick, but...
Yeah, it could be like a day.
Okay. Depends on the hag and depends on the person.
Let's say that person, that's three.
Right. Well,
there's three hags, three maidens or mothers and one crone.
Yeah. But then if, say, it's three maidens, one crone, who's the mother?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't look at the other graves. Perhaps the graves were... Here lies my granddaughter, assuming...
Perhaps that's the maiden, and then the mothers are...
I am aware, Piran says, that I don't know exactly how this could necessarily fit into things, but I am aware that people go missing in Kuchery sometimes.
When they leave Kuchery or in
No, people
Kuchery?
Just go missing sometimes in Kuchery. This has not been a thing, not been a problem that's... Hmm. I mean, sometimes people go into the abattoir and don't come out, but that's not really the same thing.
Right.
Sometimes people just disappear off the street.
And this has got nothing to do with any of the three people?
Well, I haven't been able to deduce what happened. The only reason I mention it is because it's a dead end in my knowledge-wise. Usually, someone goes missing off the streets. I know it's smuggling operation. Is it this? Right, it's that. Yeah. This is... Sometimes people just go missing.
Okay. Is it a thing where they need maiden, mother, crone? Like they need to be those? Or could you theoretically get a coven of all mothers or of all maidens?
You can, yeah, get a coven of equal levels, yeah.
Mm. I was just wondering, I'm like, maybe the situation is where they have mother, they have crone, and they need maiden. Mm. They take people off the streets of Kuchery or out of the woods and try and
change
them. It
seems quite a distance for them to travel unless...
Unless somebody within Kuchery is delivering them to the hags.
I only said that the Vistani were good. I mean, it would make no sense. I mean, were they getting people down here? But then why would then they turn on them? So that
Morrow Hag is a kind of hag. Mm. It's a hag that makes deals. So maybe the crone is a Morrow Hag, say, and it's been making a deal with the people in Kuchery. So they deliver people to the hags, and in return they receive something. But honestly, I don't know. Well, we don't have enough information, frankly. Yeah.
The wagon with the gouge out of it, the biggest gouge, was that about as big as the hags we fought?
It looks like one of the dusk hags would have done that.
Okay, not like, you know, oh, there's the big mama crone. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Mama crone.
Well, and it is common for hags to hang out with other hags?
Yeah, it happens. It's entirely possible. I mean, hags, you know, they have certain sets of rules, but like every creature from the dark places, they don't always stick to them. Very frustrating.
I guess we prepared as well as we can to set up a watch and try to get some shut-eye.
The night goes by uneventfully.
All right.
Okay. Well, I say uneventfully.
What's this?
Oh, never mind. Sorry, you don't get attacked by hags.
Okay.
But there's still random encounters. Oh.
You're making a lot of good noises, Adam, on this one.
Oh. Some unrelated creature is about to step into your heavily defended position. All right, so are you taking watches?
Yeah.
Cool. So let's say this is the second watch. Who would be on second watch?
I'd assume maybe like me and Pip might have done the first watch because we're like, well,
we're up anyway. We're still probably pumping full of adrenaline.
Yeah.
We'll take the first watch. So,
all right. Hector, you're looking in a different direction, but Pip, you see some figures staggering in the darkness towards you. They are humanoid, but they're not moving. They're moving like they might be hurt, to be honest.
Okay.
You can make out maybe 16 of them. They're just moving, not necessarily on the road, just in your direction along the road. Okay. So they're kind of just spaced out.
Okay. When you say when they're moving like they're hurt, are they moving like they're shambling?
Yeah,
like
would you describe
them? Some might describe them as shambling.
Like a slow zombo might move.
Oh, fuck, zombies. I'll slam you in the breastplate and point, and then donk, 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 donk on the roof of the... I imagine I'm sitting on the roof of the
Wagon. Divine sense straight away.
That's a limit of 60 feet, right?
Yeah.
The engagement range is currently longer than 60 feet.
All right, then I won't do it straight away. I'll wait till this 60 feet. And by then, we'll probably see that there's... Yeah.
No, it's very dark. Oh, well, your dark vision actually is 60 feet, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. As the... Yeah, unfortunately, your dark vision is going to hit basically at the same time as your divine sense.
Then I don't divine sense.
Do Gorob and Lushan obviously have dark vision?
I'll a spear and shield.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll get in a defensive position.
Once they come within 60 feet, you see it's a horde of zombies.
Zombies.
Oh, no.
Let's go to initiative.
Why is there a horde of zombies?
Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Time to refresh myself on Emmanuel's thoughts on bogmen, dry.
So they're within 60 feet. Tarpos goes first. Tarpos cannot see, so they're going to take disadvantage on this.
Okay.
Unless, actually, Tarpos turns to look at the two of you and says, make daylight?
Yeah. yes.
Let me check the range on that. 60 feet. Perfect. Tarpos casts daylight.
That rolls.
A bright light extends. Oh, yeah, and then dim light additional. So Tarpos holds up their hand, and it's... like a small sun appears in their hand. Bright light, like daylight. This is the first... if this happened during the day, you would have been dazzled by it. It is the first time you have seen or felt daylight in...
Oh, my God.
...ever since coming to Barovia. Hector, this is a religious experience.
Oh, my God. I feel like I fight the urge to genuflect.
Your entire group has a brief sigh of relief, except Piran, who...
I'm a vampire!
Oh, my God.
All right. Then it is... Pip, your turn. You can now... The first row of zombies, I'd say the first maybe four zombies, are brightly illuminated, and you can see the rest of the group beyond, but they're dimly lit. The zombies... They look bedraggled and awful. Of course they usually do.
Yeah.
But these ones look particularly vile, wretched. Ugh. Like they've been through a power wash almost. They're all surely wet and parts of them are frozen. You can see all of their hair is matted to their skulls. They look like they've been doused in water and then nearly frozen half solid, their waxy, glossy eyes staring at your group hungrily. You see they are dressed as Barovians, but it is a much, much older style. Only some of the like later generations of Barovians would be wearing clothes in this fashion.
Yeah. It's cool that fashion changes in Barovia, if nothing else does.
Slowly but subtly, perhaps, yeah.
Pip. I will use my...
Does your cordon of arrows go off?
Yeah, my cordon of arrows. Great, great point.
I assume you put that closer.
I didn't specify, but I was actually thinking I'd make it quite broad to kind of alert us as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if that goes off. But otherwise, I will cast Spray Shot and try to hit every enemy in a 30-foot cone.
You'd need to move forward 30 feet? Yeah, that's fine. The cordon of arrows goes off. You hear a small, like a thumping sound. And then arrows are shot in all directions. They have resistance to this damage, unfortunately, but two of the zombies are knocked sideways as they are splintered with little tiny shards.
Nice.
Then you...
I use Spray Shot.
Spray Shot, sorry. You can hit, of the four in that first line, you can hit three of them.
Sure.
Hit. Nice. Yes, no worries.
Was that a 19?
Yeah.
I get 19, 20 critical.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Wow, that third attack then is a critical. The first attack deals 9 points of damage. That is, even with their resistance, enough to down one.
Nice.
The second one, you also down. The third one is...
Funny to use a critical on a zombie, but funny. Still.
Distracting jab, double damage, and the target must make a con saving throw. On a failed save, they are disadvantaged on their next attack. I think 24 points of damage. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, never mind.
You kill four.
Nice.
Three. All right, three of them go down. As soon as that dull thump of your cordon of arrows, and as soon... No, actually, sorry. I'm so sorry. This would have happened when Tarpos cast Daylight.
Oh, yeah.
They were silent until they saw you. Then all of them start wailing and moaning. Their arms come up and they start hungrily staggering towards you. Previously, they just were kind of loping in your direction. Now they're moving as fast as a creature that can only drag itself can move in your direction. It's not any faster than it was previously, but now feels it's direct. Awful.
Yeah, okay.
It feels like they're bearing down upon you. All right. That was Pip, your turn. It's Piran's turn. Hector, you hear him make like a scared noise besides you. He hides.
Okay.
That's his turn.
Classic Piran.
He ducks around behind the wagon and you lose sight of him. Mm-hmm. It is their turn. They move twice, 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no. All right, so Pip... Three of them are engaged with you, but it was just their turn to move to you.
Okay.
The rest start moving around you towards the group.
Oh, it's bad to be surrounded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's bad to be surrounded.
Gorob and Lushan scream, and then they charge forwards.
Be careful of the traps.
Right.
Oh, no.
How much damage can they cause in one turn?
Great question.
The eternal question with Korob and Lushan.
Nobody better get bit. I'm going to be chopping off limbs at the end of this fight.
Hit hits. Korob, I'm going to assume, brings down. Yeah. Can he even fail?
Not kill one?
Yeah. I don't even need to roll damage. Korob downs two. And then Lushan casts Burning Hands, and, five are going to get caught in that Burning Hands.
Fuck. It's good. We're working through them.
It's 3d6.
We're popping and locking, baby.
Five are downed.
Awesome.
You're down to six. All right, that was Korob and Lushan. Hector, it's your turn.
Right. See, I'll cast Sacred Flame.
That's a dex saving throw, which they pass. That's no damage, right?
Everybody else is just dropping them like flies.
That is very funny.
Oh, fuck.
You throw a ball of holy energy, but unfortunately, in the darkness all around you, you just miss.
Yes. Penny, be with me.
Where are you, Penny?
Oh, hang on a second.
Mm?
Wait, they're undead, right?
Yeah.
Oh, can I cast Turn the Undead?
You can, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
or use your channel divinity to
I'll channel divinity.
They're like the fucking poster child for undead.
All right, so options. You can hit three of them, or you can hit all six of them. If you hit all six, you're going to take three attacks of opportunity.
Because
you need to get into the center of the formation.
Let's just do three.
All right.
I know.
Play it safe.
Yeah, I know the whole don't get bitten by a bog man common drive.
fail, pass. Two of them fall back as you hold up your holy symbol and scream into the darkness that creatures of darkness fear the light. Mm-hmm. They are turned.
Can I? Yeah. I'll hold up the spear and let the spear emit light.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. I'll allow that. Yeah. The spear, it doesn't cast nearly as much light as daylight, but these creatures turn in fear of the spear. Two of them start scrambling away from you, but one of them seems... the one that is still staggering towards you, you see its eyes have been plucked out by something.
Oh, my God.
Then... That was Hector. Your turn. Then... with all the wailing and moaning of the zombies, you hear more wails, more moans coming from the darkness. Four more appear out of the night.
Yep. Their wailing can call more zombies to them.
Every round, at the end of every round, I roll to add more to the list until you completely clear them.
We gotta get rid of them.
Gotcha.
Oh, God.
All right, okay.
Oh, God.
That's the fear.
That's, yeah, killing them's not hard, but it's relentless.
Mm. Okay. All right, it's Tarpos's turn. Tarpos conjures a ball of flames in her hands, and a corresponding but much bigger ball of flames appears in the night, maybe 30 feet away from her. She slowly guides the ball of flames, and it goes from zombie to zombie to zombie, churning through them. Unfortunately, she only kills one of the zombies she hits.
Hey, that's something.
Then, Pip, it's your turn again. You are engaged with three zombies.
Okay, I would like to cast or fire Conjure Barrage, which is another 60-foot cone, but it does a bunch of damage.
All right, you can hit, I would say, of the nine currently here, you can hit six.
Great, I'll do it.
All right, you take maybe one step back, and you just start, you grab a fistful of bolts, and you pour them into your heavy crossbow. Then you quickly rub between your fingers some ginseng and a special herb of your own concoction. You slather it onto the leather of the string that catches the bolt, and you know that that is now going to be very sticky for just a brief second.
Just enough time.
So when it grabs all of the ends of the bolt, it'll hold onto them just long enough to throw them forwards, basically. And yeah, you down five. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Was Pip. Then it is Pirin. You hear twang from behind you, and an arrow soars out of the darkness and strikes one of them. That's probably, yeah, that's... Pirin's not great on crowd control, but he does still take down one of them.
That's okay. We got three left. That's easy.
Mm.
Garb and Lushin can probably take care of that.
Hector, you hear from behind you. Yes!
Oh, that's cute.
It's the zombie's turn.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
One of them attacks you, Hector.
No!
That's a miss.
Oof.
Pip, you get attacked. Oh, no, that's it. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Only one attacks. The other two were feared.
Yeah, great.
That's
too good.
It. All right, that was the zombie's turn. It's Gorob and Lushin's turn. Gorob and Lushin wail. They... Gorob kills two, and then Lushin... Lushin's going to get cocky.
No. Oh, God.
Lushin turns his head to look at Tarpos and says, "Look, my lady, without even viewing, I can destroy this." He casts...
God damn.
Rubbing my snout.
Yeah, me too.
He casts Ray of Frost, and he gets disadvantage. He missed. No, sorry, he hits.
Okay.
Would have been very, very funny. And the last one is dead.
Well, I don't think that had anything to do with the hags. That's just Barovia being Barovia. Now, was anyone bit? Hands up.
Pirin steps out from behind the wagon, shakes his head. Everyone else slowly shakes theirs.
I think they missed. They missed me, and I think they attacked you.
I'm fine. No bites. I like show the bare bits of my skin and my scales. All right. Well, I want to check the bodies just to see if I can get a sense of who these people were. Staying away from their mouths, because I believe they're still poisonous after death. Oh, and I also get to work, and maybe I instruct everyone else. So it's actually not over, because they'll just come back if we're not careful. So there's a grisly job ahead of us. It's okay. It's okay.
Excuse you?
It's very simple. It's a very simple process. You need to get the brain of the bog man and the heart of the bog man and swap them. It's actually exceptionally difficult. You can do it in your sleep.
There were 20 in total, so we're going to need 20 checks.